Hi, I'm Mike, and welcome back to Curie. Today's episode is a deep dive into the most important updates from the 2025 AACR annual meeting, which just wrapped up in Chicago. Heading into this year's AACR, we figured the story of the meeting would be budget cuts, especially at agencies like the NIH that fund a huge chunk of cancer research. And it was, but perhaps not in the way we thought was going on at NIH and at other federal agencies was a key discussion point in almost every conversation. But there was a lot of science talk, too. The convention center was teeming on Sunday and Monday, and the exhibit floor was full. But mostly, there was just a lot of data showing science continues to move forward at an exciting pace. In today's episode, we're breaking down five stories from AACR 2025 that really stood out, not just because they're interesting, but because they might shape cancer care sooner than expected. Let's start with head and neck cancer. And honestly, this one was long overdue. For locally advanced head and neck squamous cell carcinoma, the standard of care has largely stayed the same for over 20 years. Surgery may be followed by radiation and chemo, depending on risk factors. Immunotherapy has made some inroads in the metastatic setting, but it hasn't cracked into earlier stage care. That changed with the KEYNOTE-689 trial, which tested pembrolizumab as Keytruda, given both before and after surgery. So we're talking about a perioperative model here, similar to what we've seen in lung cancer or melanoma. And the results were strong. The trial met its primary endpoint, showing a 27% reduction in event-free survival events compared to standard care. That means fewer recurrences, fewer progressions, fewer deaths. And the benefits seemed even greater in patients with high PD-L1 expression. To be clear, these are patients with resectable disease. So this isn't about delaying surgery. It's about enhancing the body's immune response before and after the tumor is removed. One interesting stat from the data was the rate of major pathologic response, which was around 14% across the board, but climbed to nearly 28% in PD-L1 high patients. That's a significant signal. Dr. Ravindra Uppaluri, who presented the trial, said it plainly, for the first time in more than 20 years, patients with this challenging disease have a new therapeutic approach. And that quote really stuck. It's not just that the numbers looked good. It's that we finally have a well-powered trial suggesting we can rethink timing, immune priming, and durability of response in this group. A thing to keep in mind, we don't yet have mature overall survival data. And perioperative IO always brings up questions. Who's the right patient? How much delay to surgery is acceptable? What toxicities are we layering in? But from a momentum standpoint, KEYNOTE-689 is likely to change conversations and practice. Let's shift to non-small cell lung cancer, specifically the HER2 mutant subtype. This is a tricky group. HER2 mutations aren't as common as EGFR or ALK, but they're targetable. And until recently, most of the available therapies came with baggage. T-DXd works, but it's an antibody-drug conjugate, meaning infusion-based, with risks like interstitial lung disease. And prior HER2 TKIs like poziotinib have had tolerable issues. Enter zongertinib, a new oral HER2 inhibitor that made its debut at AACR. It was tested in the BEAMING Lung 1 study, and the data was surprisingly solid. 71% response rate, median PFS of over 12 months. And here's the kicker. The drug had almost no serious side effects. That's pretty rare in this space. Patients didn't report major rash, diarrhea, or ILD. This is the kind of profile that makes a drug not just active, but actually usable. Dr. John Hamick, who presented the trial, emphasized this. Zongertinib demonstrated a very favorable safety profile with little or no significant rash, diarrhea, or pneumonitis. That's not just marketing. It's what separates a promising drug from a truly practice-ready one. If this drug gets approved, and it's currently under FDA priority review, it would be the first oral HER2 TKI approved for lung cancer. That would offer a non-chemotherapy, non-ADC option for patients with HER2 mutations, especially those who can't tolerate or have progressed on T-DXd. The data are early, sure, but this one could move quickly. All right, let's turn to acute myeloid leukemia, or AML. This has been one of the toughest cancers to treat with CAR T cell therapy. The disease is genetically messy. The targets are shared with normal cells and the risks are high. But at AACR this year, a new approach drew attention. A CAR NK therapy, not T cells, but natural killer cells designed to target AML while avoiding those serious toxicities. The early results were small, just 9 patients treated, but the outcomes were encouraging. 4 achieved complete remission, and 1 additional patient had leukemia-free survival. What really stood out was the safety profile. No cytokine release syndrome, no neurotoxicity, no ICU-level complications. These were off-the-shelf NK cells from healthy donors, modified to recognize CD33 and FLT32, common AML targets, and to include logic gating so that normal cells are spared. Dr. Steven Strickland, who led the study, described the results as impressive and noted the urgent unmet need in this space. Now, of course, this is early phase work, but if you've been treating AMA, you know how tough it is to offer anything durable once patients relapse. The possibility of an off-the-shelf, low-toxicity, cell-based option could be a game-changer, even if it's only for a subset of patients. The trial is moving into phase 2, and this will be one to watch closely. Next up, colorectal cancer, specifically the use of ctDNA to detect recurrence after surgery. This is a hot area. We've seen studies before that suggested ctDNA could detect minimal residual disease earlier than scans, but the VICTORY study took that a step further, showing that recurrence could be detected more than 6 months in advance using a personalized liquid biopsy assay. Here's what happened. Among patients who eventually relapsed, 87% had positive ctDNA within the first 8 weeks after surgery. It's a big number. On average, recurrence was detected 198 days before it showed up on imaging. One case was flagged over a year early. Emma Titmus, who presented the study, explained that the test was highly sensitive down to just a few parts per million and personalized to each patient's tumor signature. The takeaway? We might be entering a world where routine blood draws can guide surveillance, risk stratify patients for adjuvant therapy, or even help avoid unnecessary treatment when ctDNA is negative. As Dr. Jonathan Lurie put it, liquid biopsies can support clinical care and allow more patients to undergo second curative intent surgeries. That's the future many in oncology have been hoping for, and the data are starting to catch up. Finally, let's close with something more experimental but really interesting. A new DNA repair strategy in MSI high or mismatch repair deficient tumors. This group usually does well with immunotherapy, but once that stops working, options are limited. This year, early data were shared on a drug targeting the Werner helicase pathway, which is kind of like a backup DNA repair system that MSI tumors rely on. The idea is block that pathway and you introduce enough genomic stress to kill the cancer cells. In the phase 1 study, 5 patients had partial responses and most of the rest had stable disease. The drug was well tolerated and there were no dose-limiting toxicities. For early data, that's promising. The potential here is to create a new category of targeted therapies for MSI tumors that fail immunotherapy, which up till now haven't had much in the way of backup options. So, stepping back, what did we learn from AACR 2025? This was a meeting about real progress, about crossing the line from bench to bedside and doing it across multiple fronts. We saw immunotherapy reshaped in head and neck, targeted therapy refined in HER2 lung cancer, cell therapy reimagined in AML, and precision tools like ctDNA and DNA repair moving closer to practice. That's it for today's episode of Curie. If you're listening on the app, thanks for joining us and check back soon for deeper dives into a few of these trials. And if you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, head over to the Curie app for an experience designed just for healthcare professionals. Ad-free, focused, and curated. You'll find the download link in the episode description. Until next time, stay curious and keep making a difference.